जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारे, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवरधारे, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारे, यमुना तीर वनचारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव राधा माधव राधे, जय राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे, जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय जय गौर निताय, जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम जय कृष्ण बलराम, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद, जय जय
One of the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada, his name is very unusual. Like Madan Mutka's name, I didn't grow up with hearing any lady's name Mutka. But then I found out Prabhupada gave that name, one of the chief names of Radharani. If you just by saying those 10 names, Mother Mukha's name, you get awakened love for Krishna. So this Prabhu's name, I never heard it. His name is Paratrikananda, Prabhupada gave him. And he can tell you, it's not in the Vedavas, only in the disciple list. So let us welcome him from Los Angeles, one of senior Prabhupada's disciples, Paratrikananda Prabhu, by chanting Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare
Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And if you find the meaning, please let me know.
I can tell you what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have to search for it.
Did you ask him?
Well, it's written. It's in the Vedas.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, dear devotees, for kindly being present here. And thank you, Pran Govind Prabhu, Mother Mukhya, all the wonderful disciples of Srila Prabhupada who are present here. Thank you so much for kindly being present here for Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today we are reading from Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 8, verse number 1. The verse is in front of us. The devotees, kindly sing after me.
Maitreya uvacha. Satsevaniyo vatapuruvamsho. Yallokapalo Bhagavat Pradhana Babu Vitheha Jitakirti Malam Pade Pade Nutana Yasya Bhikshnam Maitreya Uvacha Satsevaniyo Bhatapuru Vamsho Yallokapalo Bhagavat Pradhana Babhu Vitheha Jitakirti Mala Pade Pade Nutana Yasya Bhikshnam Maitreya Uvacha Satsevaniyo Bhatapuru Vamsho Yallokapalo Bhagavat Pradhana Babhu Vitheha Jitakirti Mala Pade Pade Nutana Yasya Bhikshnam.
Pade Pade Nutanayasya Vishnam.
Satsevaneya Vatapurvamsa.
Yalokapala Bhagavat Pradhana.
Synonyms. Maitreya Uvacha. Sri Maitreya Muni said, Satsevaniya, worthy to serve the pure devotees. Bata. Oh, certainly. Puruvamsha. The descendants of King Puru. Yat. Because. Lokapala. The kings are. Bhagavat Pradhana. Chiefly devoted to the personality of Godhead. Babhu Vitha. You are also born. Iha. In this. Ajita. The Lord who is unconquerable. Kirtimala. Chain of transcendental activities. Pade Pade. Step by step. Nutanayasi. Becoming newer and newer. Abhikshanam. Always. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. The great sage Maitreya Muni said to Vidur, the royal dynasty of King Puru is worthy to serve the pure devotees because all the descendants of that family are devoted to the personality of Godhead. You are also born in that family. And it is wonderful that because of your attempt, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are becoming newer and newer at every moment. Purport. The great sage Maitreya thanked Vidur and praised him by reference to his family glories. The Puru dynasty was full of devotees of the personality of Godhead and was therefore glorious. Because they were not attached to the impersonal Brahman or the localized Paramatma, but were directly attached to Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, they were worthy to render service to the Lord and His pure devotees. Because Vidur was one of the descendants of that family, naturally, he engaged in spreading wide the ever new glories of the Lord. Maitreya felt happy to have such glorious company as Vidura. He considered the company of Vidura most desirable because such association can accelerate one's dormant propensities for devotional service. Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langhayate girim yat kripam tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri krishna chaitanya devam. Hare Krishna. So, welcome all the devotees to the morning talk. We also have, specially a mention was made about Paratrikananda Prabhu. Thank you Prabhuji for being here. Prabhu, can you specify what is the meaning of your name?
Pushkar is here, so I can make some comment. Parthivananda is, according to Srila Prabhupada, stated in initiation letter from 1971, which was about at least a dozen devotees initiated West Coast. And one who is interested in or takes pleasure in spiritual life. But there's a das at the end, so it usually means I'm devoid of that, so I have to serve somebody who is interested in or takes pleasure in spiritual life. So.
Hare Krishna. So this is a very wonderful meaning of the term Paratrikananda. The term Trika refers to a triad, a group of three. So in this world there is a Trika, there is a group of three, which is Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. That is the group of three Trika in this world. And Paratrika means the transcendental triad, which is the group of three beyond this world, which is Sat, Chit and Anand. So Sat, Chit and Anand are Paratrika. And Paratrike Anando Yasya, that one who takes pleasure always in Sat, Chit and Anand is Bhagavan Krishna and his pure devotees, and that is Paratrika Anand. So the person who is devoted to that Bhagavan Krishna who always takes pleasure in Sat, Chit, Ananda, or to those devotees who always take pleasure in Sat, Chit, Ananda. Thank you, Prabhuji. This is a very nice meaning given by Srila Prabhupada. This is the 8th chapter of Canto 3rd. Can we go back to the first verse? Yeah. Third Canto, 8th chapter. Maitreya Uvacha. So dear devotees, the conversation is going on between Maitreya Muni and Sri Vidur. This is the third level of conversation. On top of that, the second level of conversation is going on between Sri Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. On top of that, the first level of conversation is going on between Suta Goswami and the sages at Naimisharanya. So this is the third level of conversation which is going on within Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sri Maitreya Muni is glorifying Sri Vidur. Sat Sevaniyo Bata Puru Vamsho. The dynasty of Puru Maharaj is worthy of service by all the saintly souls. Sat Sevaniya. Now why suddenly Maitreya Muni are you invoking Puru Maharaj? Because Yal Lokapala Bhagavat Pradhanah Babhuva. In this dynasty, Babhuva, there appeared Bhagavat Pradhana. Those individuals who have Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Pradhan, as the prime worshipable in their lives. And who are they? Yal Lokapala. Dear Sri Vidura, you also know that you are actually Lokapali, Yamaraj. Therefore, in this dynasty, Lokapal, Yamaraj himself, Babhuva, has appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Puru. So the term Lokapal here indicates that Maitreya Muni is glorifying Sri Vidur, because Vidur is actually an appearance of Sri Yamaraj. Yamaraj was cursed by Mandavya Muni to take birth in a particular family, and he appeared as Vidur in the dynasty of Puru. And after appearing, Babhuva Iha Ajita Kirti Malam Pade Pade Nutanasya Abhikshanam. And then you are expanding Ajita Kirti Malam. You are expanding the glories of the unconquerable Lord step by step in a very new and refreshed manner each and every day. The Original Sanskrit commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Sridhar Swami says, Ashtame samabhut brahma nabhestu jalashayinah tamajanan jale bibhyat tapasa toshayar vibhum. Ashtame, he gives a summary of the 8th chapter. Ashtame, in this 8th chapter, samabhut brahma nabhestu jalashayinah. Shri Brahma will appear from the navel of Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu. That description is there. Tamajanan jale bibhyat. And because Brahma does not know who is Garbhodaka Shai Vishnu, bibhyat, due to fear, tapasa atoshayad vibhum, he will engage in tapah, austerity, and will satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the summary of this particular chapter. Srila Sridhar Swami says, Shrotaram abhinandati. It is time to glorify the listener. Who is the listener, dear devotees, between Maitreya and Vidur? Vidur is the listener. Shrotaram abhinandati. That he glorifies the listener. Because the listener is Sahriday. Sahriday means the listener is like-minded. Often we go to assemblies where the listeners are not like-minded at all, or where the listeners are devoted to fault-finding. Often it happens, dear devotees. We go and sit in an assembly and the listener is waiting, when can I find the fault in this person? Such a listener is actually Pishuna, envious. But a listener who is Sahridaya, a listener who is like-minded, like-hearted, is the one who is desired by Sri Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, he is such a listener, is the one with whom one should associate with. In describing the qualities of a sadhu, Sri Rupa Goswami says, Sajati yashaye snigdhe sadhav sangha svatovare. If we want to associate with a sadhu, then the sadhu should have three characteristics. What are the three characteristics? Sajatiya ashaya is the first characteristic. That sadhu should have sajatiya, very similar ashaya, inclinations. Similar inclinations should be there. If the sadhu has dissimilar inclinations, then there is not much to be gained by such association. Better to associate with somebody who has similar inclinations. The second characteristic of a sadhu with whom we should associate with is snigdhe. They should be affectionate towards us and informal in their dealings. If somebody is not affectionate towards us and not informal in one's dealings, then one should not reveal one's heart to such an individual. Just like Sri Krishna went once to Hastinapur for peace talks and Duryodhan invited him for lunch. Krishna refused. He said, I will not come. Why? Because you are not snigdha. We don't have friendly relationships, Duryodhan. It is only for the matter of convenience that you have invited me here. And the third characteristic, dear devotees, is svatovare. One should associate with a person only, a sadhu only, if we think they are greater than us in some respect. Otherwise, there is no point of association. So these are the three characteristics of a sadhu that are specified by Sri Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And these characteristics are present between Maitreya Muni and Sri Vidur. And when such characteristics are present, we can have what is known as a samvad. Samvad is the best type of discussion that is mainly had between two people who are very like-minded to each other. When samvad doesn't exist, at least there should be vad. Vad means a cordial discussion between two people who may have some differences of opinion, but still they are willing to at least agree on common points. Below vad, comes Jalpa, a discussion in which two people have differences of opinion, and the differences of opinion are so severe that both want to win over each other. This is Jalpa. And the worst is Vitanda, wherein both people don't have anything to prove for themselves, they just want to defeat the opinions of others. So these, dear devotees, are the various types of discussions that take place between two individuals when two individuals with different opinions come together. Maitreya Muni and Vidur are related to each other as Guru Shishya, Guru and Disciple. They are very like-minded. Vidur, in fact, has left all the non-like-minded individuals in Hastinapur when he was insulted as Dasi Putra. Duryodhan insulted him as Dasi Putra, the son of a slave. And at that point of time, Vidur hung his bow on the door and then Vidur left. Now Vidur has freedom to associate with like-minded personalities. And therefore, Vidur associates with Sri Maitreya Muni, who is his guru. Maitreya Muni is also not a dictator guru who says, yeah, you have come now, pay obeisances to me and give me worship, etc. The guru is also snigdha. Guru is glorifying the disciple in this verse. Guru says to the disciple, Satsevaniyo Bhatapuru Vamsho, O Vidur, you might have been humiliated by Duryodhan in the past because of your dynasty, but actually your dynasty is very glorious. I glorify your dynasty. Why? Ya Lokapala Bhagavat Pradhana. Because a Lokapal, a presiding deity of the entire universe such as Yamaraj, has taken birth in this particular dynasty. Srila Sridhar Swami clarifies here. Yat yasmin yasmad ihasmin vamshe Lokapalo Dharmarajastvam Babhuvita. Because in this dynasty, you, Dharmaraj, Yamaraj, have taken birth. And Bhagavan eva pradana bhuto yasya sah. He says, you are the one for whom Bhagavan is the highest manifestation of the Absolute Truth. So it is very important, dear devotees, to glorify like-minded audience, because the audience is the main cause of the success of kirtan. When we perform kirtan, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is also kirtanam. So Srimad Bhagavatam as kirtanam cannot become successful unless there are like-minded people to perform that kirtan. Bahubir militva yat kirtanam tat sankirtanam. When many people get together and perform kirtan, Srila Jiva Goswami says in the Bhakti Sandarbh, that is called as sankirtan. Today, I recited the verse, but all of you recited after me. So when all of us recited together, from kirtan it turned into sankirtan. Dear devotees, this is congregational glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the devotees of described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. This, dear devotees, is sankirtan, and for this reason, speaking Srimad Bhagavatam class is one of the best forms of sankirtan that can be performed, and thus a fulfillment of the Yuga Dharma of this age. Without the presence of the audience, it is impossible to turn kirtan into sankirtan, because sankirtan requires plurality of individuals. In Sanskrit, plural begins not with two but with three. In English, plural begins with two. In Sanskrit, plural begins with three. Because Sanskrit has singular case, also a dual case, and also plural case. So plural requires minimum of three. Dear devotees, therefore I alone by myself cannot fulfill Yuga Dharma of Sankirtan. I require the audience to fulfill the Yuga Dharma. And all of you are present here as the audience. Dear devotees, this like-minded audience is also desired by all the speakers of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Narasimha Chaturdashi is coming up, and In the seventh canto, it is described how Maharaj Prahlad also was the listener of the instructions given by Sri Narad Muni when Maharaj Prahlad was in the womb. And when Maharaj Prahlad also became the speaker, he started speaking to the boys who were born in Asura families. So he also got an audience in which many of them were like-minded due to being friends in the same school. So Prahlad Maharaj then started speaking to those particular boys in the audience. And Prahlad Maharaj gave them many instructions. The first instruction that he gave them is that in this particular world, to attain the human form of life is extremely difficult. Because human form of life is available after transmigrating through many millions of species. If we walk from here to the road outside, we will pass through millions of living entities in the form of grass. Just from walking from here to the road outside, we will see so many millions of living entities all around us. And grass is only one category. There are so many insects and other organisms, each one of whom contains a living entity. Therefore, dear devotees, for somebody to become a human being is extremely rare. And in this human form of life, sukha and dukkha, happiness and distress, are automatically available. Srila Sridhar Swami says, one does not have to separately endeavor for attaining dukkha, unhappiness in this world. Unhappiness comes by its own accord. Similarly, one should not endeavor separately to attain sukha, happiness in this world, because happiness also comes by its own accord. Dear devotees, in this way, Maharaj Prahlad spoke to the various boys whom he had met in his Gurukul. So, dear devotees, in this way, it is very much required that the audience and the speaker should be situated on a similar wavelength, sajatiya ashay. Those who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, Sri Rupa Goswami's expectation from them is that they should be rasika. Rasika means they should be connoisseurs of bhakti rasa. This is the basic expectation of Sri Rupa Goswami. Not only of Sri Rupa Goswami, this is the basic expectation of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the qualification of the person who is speaking and the qualification of the person who is listening, they are both specified in the third verse of the Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpatarur galitam phalam shukamukhadamrita dravasam yutam pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam muhuraho rasika bhuvibhavuka. Rasika, O connoisseurs of bhakti rasa, O those who have already rejected all forms of cheating religion, you are the ones who can sing and glorify Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the forms of cheating religion? All forms of transactional religion in this world are declared by Srimad Bhagavatam as cheating religion. All forms of transactional religion, we go across any part of the world, we will find transactional religiosity everywhere in the world. Almost every form of religiosity, we will find you believe in this person, you live your life in certain way by believing in these principles, and as a result, you will get something very nice in the afterlife. Transactional religion. And then also when you come to Vedic religion, there are a lot of transactions. In the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan Sri Krishna specifies something and he says that the yajnyad bhavati parjanya, annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyad anna sambhava, yajnyad bhavati parjanya, yajnya karma samudbhava. If you satisfy the devatas will satisfy you. And then there will be rainfall. And then from rainfall, there will be very nice grains and you can offer oblations and then you can perform yajna and again you can satisfy the devatas. Are you, but all of this is transactional. Krishna speaks something higher to me. Then Krishna speaks something higher. Arjuna, go to the forest and meditate with your half eyes closed, meditating on the tip of your nose, and then you will be able to attain samadhi. But Krishna, this is also transaction. Krishna speaks something higher to me. Finally, Krishna says, Yomam pasyati sarvatra sarvam cha mai pasyati. One who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am not lost to him, he is not lost to me. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. I will rescue you from all sinful reactions, do not worry. Krishna, this is also transactional. What if I don't give up all varieties of religiosity? Oh well, then I don't take responsibility for you. Therefore, dear devotees, in Dwapar Yuga, not many people could become devotees. How many people became devotees in Dwapar Yuga by reading Bhagavad Gita? Maybe we can count on our fingers. Bhagavan has put so many terms and conditions and transactional dharma in the Bhagavad Gita. Sri Vyasadeva compiled the Bhagavad Gita in the Mahabharata. After compiling the Bhagavad Gita in the Mahabharata, Sri Vyasadeva himself is not happy. Sri Narad Muni comes to Sri Vyasadeva and asks a rhetorical question. Vyasadeva, are you happy? Vyasadeva says, my dear sir, you know I am not happy. Vyasadeva, in the 17 Puranas and Mahabharata, why did you specify transactional dharma? Give something, receive something. Give something, receive something. Where is that dharma which is free of all transactions? Which is not based on a mechanical formula that you give X amount of input and you get Y as output. Where is that non-transactional dharma? Vyasadeva said, I have not described that. Therefore, I feel lost in my life, dear Prabhu. Oh, Sri Vyasadeva, now you compile that literature which is free of all cheating religiosity, all transactional dharma. All right. Then Sri Vyasadeva compiles that literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, in which there is nothing transactional. The main goal is devotional service. And devotional service is the only activity to be performed without any expectations. Not dharma, not artha, not kama, not moksha, even liberation. The desire for going back home, back to Godhead is rejected in the second verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then what does the Gaudiya Vaishnava want? The Gaudiya Vaishnava wants that he or she should only have Krishna Prem. Because Krishna Prem is not for one's own satisfaction. All forms of liberation, including going back to Godhead, if they are the primary motivation of the devotee, then there is still a trace of selfishness present within the devotee. As soon as the desire for liberation is rejected, the devotee becomes truly transactionless in their behavior. And that is the point at which pure devotional service begins. Before that, devotional service remains motivated. Therefore, it is the duty of every devotee to come to the non-transactional platform. Sri Krishna in the Dwapar Yuga specified many conditions in order to become a devotee. And therefore, many individuals could not easily become devotees in that age. In Kali Yuga, Shri Krishna returned, but this time with the mood of Shri Radha. And in the mood of Shri Radha, all the transactional nature was dropped. As Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would just go and he would not place any terms and conditions in front of individuals. He would say, Bolo Krishna Bolo. Can you chant Krishna Naam? And if you can chant Krishna Naam, I will accept you. Dear devotees, when all the conditions were dropped from Bhagwan's side, millions of people became devotees of the Lord in Kali Yuga. Because Bhagwan dropped all the transactional nature from his side. So it is also our duty to drop all transactional nature from our side. That is to not perform our bhajan for the sake of dharma, artha, kama and moksha. Not for the sake of mundane piety, for the sake of economic benefit, for the sake of creativity and sense gratification, and also for the sake of getting liberated or going back to Godhead. Going back to Godhead is an insignificant side effect of Shri Krishna Prema. It should always remain as an insignificant side effect. To make it as the main goal of one's practice of bhakti is precisely what the Srimad Bhagavatam was speaking against. Dharmaha projjita kaitavotra. That all sorts of cheating religiosity should first be rejected. And Srila Sridhar Swami says, and the Chaitanya Charitamrita quotes it word by word, prashabdena mokshabhi sandhirapi nirastam. The second verse also rejects moksha, the desire for any sort of liberation. Therefore, dear devotees, a devotee truly becomes happy and blissful in their bhakti when they reject two desires. The desire for sense gratification, dharma, artha, kama, and the desire for liberation, moksha. Sri Rupa Goswami specifies in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Bhukti mukti sprihayavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katham abhyudayo bhavet. There are two witches which have overtaken the hearts of many individuals who are trying to perform bhakti. What are the two witches or two ghosts who have taken over the hearts? First is bhukti spriha, the ghost of the desire for sense gratification. As long as the ghost has taken over the heart, the person cannot feel any happiness. Some of us might have seen or heard of haunted people. If we go and happen to see a person who is haunted by ghosts, they have a dead look in their eyes. They cannot enjoy anything in the world because somebody else has taken over their entire existence. So there are two ghosts which have to be removed from the heart. The first ghost is bhukti spriha, the ghost of material enjoyment. Because as long as this ghost is residing on the heart, the devotee cannot feel any actual happiness of bhakti. The devotee keeps postponing all the activities of bhakti. I'll do it later because right now I have to advance in material life. And second is mukti spriha, the desire to go back home, back to Godhead and attain liberation because, oh my God, if I don't come in the morning 3:30 and chant my rounds, then I will not be able to go back home, back to Godhead. Then I will suffer in this world. Oh my God. This is another ghost taking over the heart. So such a devotee performs bhakti only because, oh my goodness, I should quickly go back home, back to Godhead. I should quickly go back home, back to Godhead. Oh my goodness. If I don't go back home, back to Godhead, I'll be recycled in the material world. I don't want that to happen. Arre, arre, wait, wait. Why are you so afraid? No, no, I want to quickly attain liberation. But what will you do after going back to Godhead? There I will enjoy. Acha, ultimately you had enjoyment in your mind. Ultimately you had enjoyment in your mind. That was the reason for performing bhakti. Ah, For this reason, all the activities of bhakti and renunciation, oh, this is precisely what is called Phalgu Vairagya. In India, there is a river in Bihar named Phalgu. This river is the exact opposite of all other rivers in the world. All other rivers in the world have water on top and sand underneath, a bed of sand underneath. Phalgu has water underneath and a bed of sand on top. So this river appears completely like a desert. But if you dig into the river 1 or 2 feet, you will see there is a subterranean river flowing underneath. This is the Phalgu River. Similarly, the person who very quickly wants to go back home, back to Godhead, quickly wants to attain liberation, will externally appear, I am following all the rules and regulations very strictly, very dry as sand. Internally, there is still the desire of attaining sense gratification in the form of the happiness of going back home, back to Godhead and getting liberated. In all of this, there is very little consideration of seva of Bhagavan and prema of Sri Krishna. Prema of Sri Krishna should remain unconditional and untouched by dharma, artha, kama and moksha. And that is the point at which Srimad Bhagavatam begins. And these are the sorts of discussions that took place also between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Because in the third canto itself, Kapil Muni will say, Sarishti Samipya Salokya Sarupya Ikatvam Apyuta Diyamanam Nagrihinanti Vina Matsevanam Jana. All five types of liberation my devotees don't accept unless they come as a side effect of rendering service. Attaining liberation should not be the goal of my bhakti. And this will also be discussed in the third canto here. So I'd like to pause my speech at this point of time. Thank you very much, dear devotees, once again. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava ki jai. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Girol Prabhuji, very nice. So, Maitreya was telling Vidura that you come from a glorious dynasty. Puru Rava, he was the son of Yayati. Yayati was the son of Nahusha. And Puru was the brother of Yadu. Yadu, Vidura is coming from the Yadu dynasty. So you're coming from a glorious clan. Very, very nice. And if you study these personalities, I mean, some of them, like Yayati, had setbacks, but he was a great preacher. See? So even though, he was attached maybe to a woman one time, because there's that great story in Bhagavatam on that verse. One should not even sit with his sister and mother, with Yayati. But overlooking that, Yayati was a great preacher. He actually preached, the glories of Vishnu throughout the world. So, I guess that point was prominent in this. In this portion. Mm. But thank you, you gave a nice class. I love it.
And my question is, how is Vidura belongs to this Lokapala? Because his father is Parashar Suta and mother is a Dasi. Has nothing to do with the Puru dynasty. So why he is considered Lokapala?
Actually it is not Puru, it is Puru with the long U. That's a different king. If we see the verse, it is Puru Vamsha. It is not Puru. It is Puru Vamsha. Puru is a different personality in the past.
It's different from
Puru Rava.
Yeah.
It's different from Puru Rava.
So he's related to Parashar?
Yeah, it's much previous, much long, long ago.
But is he related? I mean, why he is considered that? When his mother is a maidservant, nothing to do with these Kauravas or Purus. And father is Parashar. So why he is considered, or why we address...
For example, Krishna is also known as Somavamshi. His original dynasty begins from the moon. And then it comes to Yadu dynasty. So how many generations back So, because Vidura was being addressed by everybody as Dasi Putra, son of a maid servant, son of a slave, Maitreya Muni said that actually, all right, in the current generation you might have been born from a Dasi, but your current generation, if we trace back, it traces back to King Puru. And King Puru, it is described by some acharyas, is son of Atri. This is a different Puru. And Puru has a short U. Puru has both U short. Puru has first U long and second U short. So they're different personalities. So that is the answer.
My another question is that even devotees in ISKCON that wants to go back home, even though they may not develop that service propensity, but I want you to correct me. I think we should still encourage any way anybody wants to chant, because that verse, Ami bigyo ei murkhe bishoy kena divo, sacharna amrita diya bishoy bulaibo. Even if they have ulterior motive, still Prabhupada emphasized that verse, many purport, that we should focus that. So should we not encourage or shall
we? We should definitely encourage. Why only that verse? Akamaha sarva kama va moksha kama udaridhi, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Somebody may be sarva kama, full of all desires. Didn't Sri Narad Muni encourage Dhruv Maharaj, although Dhruv Maharaj was filled with desires? Of course he encouraged. So we are in the parampara of Narad Muni. We will definitely encourage. But the question is, should we remain on that same level of motivation throughout our lives? So the answer to that is no. I'll give a small example in this regard. When I was about to enter into the 10th grade, my mother told me, just complete your 10th grade with good marks and you will be happy in life. So I completed my 10th grade with good marks. Then my mother started saying, complete your 12th grade with good marks and you will be happy in life. So I completed my 12th grade with good marks. Then my mother started saying, if only 4 years of graduation you complete with flying colors, you will be happy in life. All right, I completed 4 years of graduation. In the final year, I managed to get good marks. And then she said, only if you have a very nice paying job, you will be really happy in life. Then I said, all right. And then after I got a job, then she said, if only you could get married as long as I am living, in front of my eyes, I'll be happy. I said, okay. And after I got married, she said, if only I could see the face of my grandchild before I leave this world, I'll be happy. All right, grandchild. Then after a few years, when my son was on some reason not listening to me, my mother said, what's the use of all your education? Your son doesn't listen to you. So Indian parents have a habit of encouraging children on different levels of motivation. So does Shastra. So that is
I don't want to stop. But another question on relevant or the definition of Sankirtan.
Yeah.
There is a verse in Antolila, third chapter. Haridas kahen karen guhai nama sankirtan, Krishna asiven ei tar man. So Haridas Thakur in the cave doing sankirtan. Who else is there? Nobody. Maybe one snake was there, the reference is there. So sankirtan here, so I was tracing it. I found Anubhashya gave Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur, sambandha sahit kirtan. Sankirtan. So Bahuva Milita, yes, I agree. Prabhupada also gave that. But Prabhupada gave both sides.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just wanted to add that.
Yes, yes. So the primary definition of Sankirtan is Bahubhir Militva Kirtanam Sankirtanam Iti Uchyate. This is given in our Bhakti Sandarbha. Sankirtan requires minimum 3 people. But Sankirtan also means Samyak Kirtan, complete Kirtan, which includes a full understanding of Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojan. So that is also Sankirtan. And both definitions are valid. the primary one being accepted from the Bhakti Sandarbha, because congregational chanting is the main translation that Prabhupada gave. I think Pancha Gaura Prabhu also had raised his hand, but yeah, we'll come to him. But
I wanted to, you mentioned one of the characteristics for hearing Bhagavatam, to be successful, that the person has to be greater than you. But I was thinking how King Yudhisthira, when he was asked to find someone who was greater than him, he couldn't do it, and that we should think like that, that there's always something we can learn from the speaker, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam's speaker, correct?
Yeah. Yes. There is a reason why the speaker is given a higher seat and we put a garland around the speaker. Because at least there is something if we can learn at least one thing from the speaker on that particular day, it is worth it. Often there is a very distressful practice scene that sometimes the speaker is made to sit on the Vyasasana, and then somebody who is listening to the talk, then after the talk they end up finding faults in the speaker. So actually anybody who is sitting in the audience, when we are performing the seva of being the audience, if we do not like something spoken by the speaker, it is best not to bring it out in front of the speaker after they have been garlanded and welcomed. Because that goes against all sorts of Vaishnava etiquette. Why garland a person and make them sit on a platform if our intention was to insult them? So therefore, both cultures, Ashishtachar is very important. The culture of understanding how a speaker should be treated and how listeners should be treated. The speaker should glorify the listeners, and the listener should also have respect for the speaker. Thank you so much. Yes, we'll go to him.
You were mentioning Vyasadeva was unhappy and maybe sad. And yesterday, Chaturatma Prabhu was mentioning that if one is unhappy or sad, then he's not a devotee. You know, so you should do your service in a blissful mood. Sometimes we get depressed or are unhappy, so that means we're not devotees. How can you speak on that?
In the Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, 64 limbs of bhakti are mentioned, and one of the 64 limbs of bhakti is to not become overcome by lamentation, illusion, anger, etc. To keep oneself happy on the path of bhakti is one of the 64 limbs. It is between limb number 10 and 20. The exact name is Shokadi Avashavartita. This is Sri Rupa Goswami saying, to not become overcome by lamentation, illusion, anger, unhappiness, etc. So one of the 64 limbs is to keep oneself happy on the path always. There is a conversation between Srila Prabhupada and some of his disciples. The disciple is saying, sometimes as devotees we feel that we are more unhappy even than the karmis. Then Prabhupada says, that means he is not a devotee.
Yes,
not a devotee, he asked. Yeah, he is not a devotee, he is not even entered into spiritual life. Because devotee means, first sign, he will be Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Prabhupada quotes. Somebody is not Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma, Prabhupada uses a strong word there. He is a rascal, that is what Prabhupada says. Somebody is not happy in the path of devotion, so he is a rascal. Directly Prabhupada says. And then says, devotee means first sign will be he is happy. And if he is still lacking or in want of happiness, Prabhupada, I almost memorized the conversation. If he is still unhappy or in want of happiness, then he is not yet a devotee. And Prabhupada quotes Dhruva Maharaj and Swamin Kritarthosmi Varam Nayachi. Like Dhruva Maharaj, he said, my dear Lord, I don't have nothing else remaining. I am fully happy just by seeing you. So that is a devotee, but it cannot be expected immediately from a devotee as soon as they enter in their spiritual life, because 64 limbs are supposed to be developed over a period of time. But yes, to remain happy is one of the 64 limbs of bhakti. Thank you.
Yeah, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you for giving your association. You were speaking about the witches in the heart, and I was wondering, so if a person examines themselves and sees that they're still there, then but they're at the same time performing devotional service, so is it just, okay, acknowledge it and continue with the understanding that it will go away, or is there something specific that needs to be done?
So question is, if somebody feels that they are still affected by the two witches, the witches are desires, the desires for bhukti, material enjoyment, and mukti, liberation. What are they supposed to do? A person who is affected, haunted by a ghost, cannot get rid of the ghost by themselves. Usually a person who is haunted by a ghost cannot get rid of the ghost by themselves. Therefore, the best thing is to have association of somebody who already is free from the two desires. And that particular person will be able to convince them. Because when we see the mood and mannerisms of a person who is free from those two desires, some of that mood and some of those mannerisms rub on to us. And then we start appreciating why it is so nice to be free of the desire for bhakti and mukti. So unless we associate with a person who has already transcended those two, it will be difficult for us to get rid of them by ourselves. And that is perhaps the best solution. So that is the answer to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your wonderful class. You know, we are coming from all kind of different backgrounds. And sometimes when you hear these classes on devotional service, it's like a clear line what pure devotion is and what's mixed devotional service. I mean, I think we're coming from different backgrounds, so we're not on that stage of pure devotion. And like you were saying, we get encouraged at different stages. And Mataji was just saying, if we have these witches in our heart, you know, of desires, material desire, and we're still doing devotional service, at some point, these witches go away, or we get to a point where we just want to do devotional service. I mean, how do we strengthen this desire?
Yeah.
I mean, I know better japa and stuff, but it seemed like forever we're on this plane that just can't seem to get off.
All right. So there is a very nice answer to this. How do we get rid of those desires and actually come to the platform of...
Focus more on the spiritual platform. It's just we're surrounded by these material desires. So.
Yeah. If we try to fight material desires on our own strength, it is impossible, because material desire, we are trying to fight material desires with our material senses and material mind. Fighting Maya with Maya was never recommended by any previous acharyas. I will finally, this is the final question, or we'll have more Prabhu? All right. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in 1932 took a parikrama to Sri Radhakund, and when he took a parikrama to Sri Radhakund, he suddenly started speaking on something which nobody was expecting him to speak on. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started speaking on Ashta Kaliya Lila, that is conjugal eightfold pastimes of the Lord mentioned in elevated literature such as Govinda Lilamrita, etc. Nobody was expecting Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur to speak on Ashta Kaliya Lila. But suddenly Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur started speaking on Ashta Kaliya Lila, and everybody got taken by surprise. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur then started explaining why he is speaking on Ashta Kaliya Lila. I will read something from what he said. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, this is a lecture in 1932 given on the banks of Sri Radhakund. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, and I am repeating his words, "All these days we have not spoken about Ashta Kaliya Lila, conjugal eightfold pastimes of Radha and Krishna. But this is our most confidential asset. This is our only sadhya, perfection. One should never make the mistake of thinking that anartha nivritti, getting rid of negatives such as lust, etc., is the goal of bhakti." One thinking like this will never enter into Artha Pravritti, the positive side, or acquiring one's actual need. For this reason, I will now begin speaking about Ashtakaliya Lila. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then said, I know you are not ready to hear it. But we should know that such a transcendental ideal exists within the realm of devotion. Beyond Anartha Nivritti is Artha Pravritti, pure conjugal service to Radha and Krishna. If we do not know of this transcendental reality, then all of our efforts may end in Nirvisheshvad, impersonalism. Do not let your days pass simply in trying for Anartha Nivritti, getting rid of the negatives. Artha Pravritti is also necessary. Cultivating the positive is very necessary. Anartha Nivritti is necessary only until Artha Pravritti, cultivating the positives, has started. When Artha Pravritti has started, Anartha Pravritti becomes unimportant and Artha Pravritti becomes prominent. And then somebody may ask, who is qualified to do this? Then he specifies a fixed time limit, because some devotees say forever you are unqualified. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur knows that crookedness also exists within the mind of some, that you are forever unqualified. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur then gives a fixed time limit. Those who have chanted Harinam for 15 or 20 years should know these things. The beginners need not know. But those who have chanted Harinam for 15 or 20 years should know about the higher aspects of spiritual life. So one counteracts material desires by having param drishtva nivartate, by higher rasa, by understanding faithfully through the mouth of a sadhu and through the words of the previous acharyas what is the prayojan, the ultimate goal of life, and how it should be attained. Not by struggling with material senses, struggling with maya, with our own material senses. That will lead to neti neti, not this, not this, not this, and that is impersonalism. So that is the answer to your question. Thank you.
I just have one quick question. Is Vidura called Lokapal because he is Yamraj?
Yes, Srila Sridhar Swami says, yet Dharma Rajasvam. You are Dharma Raj, Yamraj.
And once more, we read in Krishna Leela that Shakatasura was demon of the habits. So is it that we read that pastime again and again to get rid of any bad habit we may have?
Shakatasura was demon of the?
Habits, right?
Various demons are given an adhyatmic meaning. They are given a meaning related to our spiritual life in Krishna Samhita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, etc. So to get rid of a particular anartha is to get rid of that particular demon within the heart. Not only reading the pastime, but sometimes the mercy of Bhagavan is also required. Like Vatsasur. Vatsasur represents lust. Vatsasur was only identified by Krishna. None of the cowherd boys could identify Vatsasur. Vatsasur was killed only by Krishna. So lust will not be curbed by our own independent efforts. Only Bhagavan will be able to find out where Vatsasur is located within the heart. And Bhagavan will be able to kill that particular demon. By our own efforts, Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, Gopinath, harja mene chyami. I lost, Gopinath. I lost. By my own efforts, I lost. Ekhona bharasa tumi. You are the only hope. Thank you. Yes. Prabhuji, you have to tell me when to stop. Pran Bantu.
But they felt that he doesn't belong to us.
Yes, but
they realized that he's not a...
Yeah, but they didn't realize that he's a demon. Krishna realized actually who he is. Alright, so who wants next?
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, I just want to hear a little bit further about what does like-minded exactly mean. Just if you could elaborate.
What does like-minded exactly mean? Yeah. Like-mindedness is established on various levels. Level 1 like-mindedness is that two people are Vaishnavas, devoted to the same deity, Vishnu. Level 2 like-mindedness is amongst Vishnu also both of them are dedicated to the same Ishta Devata, Krishna. Level 3 is even in dedication to Shri Krishna, one has various rasas, and amongst those various rasas both are aspiring for the same rasa. Level 4 is both may be aspiring for the same rasa and both have the same previous Gurujanas. Level 5 is both of them have the same previous Gurujanas but also have the same immediate Guru. And level 6 is both have the same immediate Guru but both also have same disposition of mood and mannerisms. When all of these are there, like-mindedness is established on so many levels. So this is... Yeah.
The last thing you said there, I've got another question, but you said that you know, having the same initiating guru means you can be more like-minded. Does that mean that if you don't have the same initiating guru, you can't be as like-minded?
You can be like-minded. But when one's bhakti is devoted, when two people have their greatest amount of bhakti invested in one particular Vaishnava, they are sure that the instructions which are coming from that Vaishnava are the same. And on top of that, they should also have similarity of mood and disposition. Because two people may be initiated by the same Guru, but if they don't have similar mood and disposition, they'll never be able to get along with each other. And two people who have different Gurus may have same mood and disposition. They may be able to get along very well with each other. But ideal is if both are present. The same Guru, Shiksha or Diksha Guru, and the same mood and mannerisms. That is very ideal.
Okay. Is there a Shastric quote for that?
Oh yeah. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Swakulardhyay tato dhiman swayuthan eva samshrayat. Swakula, in your own family lineage, you should take shelter.
Okay. The other thing was, you said that there's a certain type of devotee who chants and they're thinking, you know, when I go to the spiritual world, I'll be happy. I'm not happy here, but you know, when I go there, I'll be happy. But at the same time, aren't we supposed to see the frailties of the material world and the problems in the material world? And you know, we hear what the spiritual world is like. That's why the Goswamis wrote all the books. And you know, we're being enticed to go back to Godhead. So isn't it right to, you know, hanker to be back in the spiritual world, because we know that as long as we're in the material world, we're going to see wars, we're going to have a physical body, there's always problems here.
So, obviously, not only now, even 500 years ago when Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was being written, there were such heavy problems in India. The political situation was so topsy-turvy, there was a price on the head of every sadhu. Somebody could bring the severed head of a sadhu, they would get 2 gold coins. And that
Muslims?
Was the...
Muslims?
Huh?
From the Muslims?
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe.
There were marauders on the street and there was no law. And the sadhus, many of them had gone hiding into the forests. And it was at this particular point of time that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written. Sanatan Goswami had just escaped prison. Rupa Goswami had fled from Nawab Hussain Shah's kingdom. This was a time at which Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu was written, but none of that shows up in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami says, Atra tyajyeta yai vokta mukti pancha vidhapi chet salokyadis tathapyatra bhaktya nati virudhyate. He says, I will give my conclusion once again. The 5 types of liberation are specified as rejected in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Bhagavatam. But they are, amongst these 5, 4 of them are not very inimical to bhakti. They can be accepted if seva to Bhagavan is there. So the primary motivation that is there in the sampradaya is seva. And of course, material world is horrible, everything is bad, and so we should go there. That is a good motivation. But the motivation that is specified to be the highest in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is Anyabhilashita Shunyam, free of all other desires. including the desire for liberation.
One last thing.
Paribhasha Sutra.
So, have you read Gita Govinda?
What?
Have I read Gita Govinda?
Yeah, I mean, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, apparently he didn't read it. I don't know if that's true. But, you know, it's such a great book. And it seems that, you know, you could, if you were free from, you know, being affected by reading it, like in the wrong way, that one should read it because it's written for a particular purpose to attract us to Krishna's pastimes.
Yeah.
You mentioned the Govinda Lilamrita, but that's not as spiritually sensual as Gita Govinda.
No, there is a lot of... What is the meaning of sensuality? Sensuality is of two types mentioned in Ujjwal Nilmani at the very end of the 15th chapter. One is sensuality of physical interaction, which is known as samprayog, the technical term used by Sri Rupa Goswami, samprayog, which is the final union. And one is the interactions before samprayog. And Sri Rupa Goswami says those who are expert in Madhurya Ras, they understand that the interactions before the final union are much sweeter than the final union. Therefore, Govinda Lilamrit is more focused on the interactions before the final union, because those interactions are much more sweeter than the actual final union. This is the conclusion given by Sri Rupa Goswami at the end of Ujjwal Nilmani. There's a reason why Govinda Lilamrit doesn't describe the actual final union as the Gita Govind describes. Because samprayog is not the highest point of relishment for the rasikas. The activities that take place before samprayoga are the highest point of relishment for the rasikas. For example, Sri Radha looking in a crooked way at Sri Krishna answering with his eyes. Then he is speaking a coded, he is asking a coded question, she gives a coded reply, and then both of them in this way interact with each other. That is the highest pleasure for the rasikas. And the final union is supposed to be their particular private pastime, although there are some very close confidential associates who are able to see it. But still the greatest pleasure is in the activities that are before samprayoga. So that is the answer to your question.
So Gita Govinda describes the final union.
Yeah, final union.
I got it.
And Sri Rupa Goswami gives example of Gita Govinda in samprayog, final union at the end of Ujjwal Nilmani.
But that's not totally private.
Huh?
That's not totally private. I mean, there are onlookers to the final union.
Yeah. There are some confidential associates who are able to view it.
Right.
But the main point is in the Ujjwal Nilmani, it is very clearly mentioned that the final union is not as tasteful as the activities before the final union.
But the Gita Govinda is a famous book in India. Many people recite it.
Sure.
Over, you know, for a long time.
Yes.
Since it was written.
Yeah, every day in front of Jagannath they recite it.
Huh?
Every day in the Jagannath Mandir they recite it.
Ah, yeah. Okay. Okay, Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
The happiness of a devotee, a qualification. What about the qualification of Paradukha Dukhi?
What about the...
Paradukha Dukhi. How can a Vaishnava be happy in Kali Yuga?
How can a Vaishnava be happy in Kali Yuga?
So change the tone, move the chain.
Yeah. The devotee is happy whether they are even in hell. It is specified in... it's para dukkha dukkhi, but that dukkha doesn't take over his existence. It's not that because he is unhappy to see others unhappy, therefore that unhappiness becomes a depression in his life. That will go against one of the 64 limbs of bhakti, that is to remain happy on the path. He becomes a little saddened on seeing that this particular living entity is unhappy and maybe I can do something for them. But when he returns back and performs his bhajan, he becomes again happy.
There is a verse actually
gives this. Janya nishchaita paramananda suruk.
Yes.
So that verse gives actually
both.
They are sad seeing that, but their connection with the Lord, they are actually enjoying also the affection is coming for them.
That verse If you see a Vaishnava suffering outside because of separation from Krishna, like Sri Madhavendra Puri, Kadavalokyase Hridayam Tvadaloka Kataram Daita Brahmyati Kinka. So Madhavendra Puri was suffering out, oh my God, where will I see Krishna? Vyavahare, in practical life, in day-to-day life also, if you see a Vaishnava is exhibiting some suffering because of separation from Krishna, externally it appears suffering. Internally, actually, suffering of due to separation from Krishna is actually the greatest happiness to be had.
But that's not Mahabhava, because Sarva Bhuteshu Japashit Bhagavad Bhavam Atman.
Sure.
So for the Mahabhagava, there is not a need.
For the Mahabhagavati, for somebody who has reached the platform of Samadhi, why will they see the material world? They see everywhere Vasudeva.
Prabhu, a third one. Yeah, as devotee was patient to Nirvana, he just suggested. Then his wife...
Then his wife died. And then he was like in depression for years and years and years. You know? I mean... So sometimes the thing is, maybe it's easy to say certain things, but when calamities strike, even when it hit you, I mean, I've seen very advanced devotees, when calamity hit their life or in their family or something, they're in a serious state of whatever, you know.
Maybe sometimes there may be a lapse.
I mean, I've observed it many, many times.
No, there's what to speak of you observing. In the Bhagavatam, when Dhruva loses his brother Uttam, there's a big calamity that comes. Although Dhruva has already seen the Supreme Lord, and Dhruva has achieved pure devotional service. But after...
Yudhishthira was lamenting again.
Yeah, Yudhishthira Maharaj also. But when Dhruva loses Uttam to the Yakshas, there's a big calamity that comes on the Yakshas. That is described in the fourth canto. Temporary lapses are not to be taken as the standard behavior of the devotee. In ordinary day-to-day life, the devotee will not be affected. There may be slight temporary lapses, but they don't last so long.
And those are unusual circles.
Yes.
Thank
you. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
That's good. Very good.